Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Hello. It's Anne Revelle-Petcher, your host for Carolina Connections, here in the studio with our producer, Angie Han. Say hello, Angie.
Hello.
And Cal Hackerman, my co-host. How you doing, Cal?
Hi, doing great.
Good. Welcome back into the studio. Welcome back to Carolina Connections. We have a really, really interesting show today. We have somebody in the studio who has an amazing story to tell, and we don't get to hear it often enough in this region. I have to say that what Six Fusion does is really astounding, and it's one of our region's most critical companies, I think, that's going to come out of the area in the next few years. So I'm happy to welcome Ryan Crottle, the VP of Marketing and Product Management at Six Fusion. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how are you? It's great to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. And I said your name right, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's rare.
You know,
it doesn't sound like it looks.
For those of you trying to email him right now, it doesn't sound like it looks. So
yeah.
Here you go. So tell us a little bit about Six Fusion from your perspective.
Yeah, so Six Fusion is really focused on the economic measurement of IT infrastructure usage. So the core infrastructure and the hardware that makes up servers and infrastructure that organizations use to run their applications and provide the computing power to run their businesses. And so we are really focused around standardizing that economic measurement of the usage of that infrastructure. Now, most mid-size and certainly very large organizations have a very large footprint of infrastructure that they use to power their businesses. And that could be in the form of private data centers that they own and operate. It could be the use of a public cloud service or an infrastructure as a service, the most common one being Amazon Web Services. But there are many others out there, Google, Microsoft, a variety of other, all the big players have infrastructure services as well. And so what the core intellectual property that Six Fusion brings to market is the ability to measure the usage of infrastructure, regardless of the underlying technology platform or who actually owns that infrastructure. It's a way to normalize that the data around who's using what, how much is being used, how those consumption patterns change over time. There's a variety of different things you can do with that core data, which we'll talk more about, but that's fundamentally that's the breakthrough we've made at Six Fusion is the ability to do a true apples to apples comparison across different sets of infrastructure
of cost for IT services, essentially what it
that's correct. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So you're finally giving these IT guys a dollar figure value for the work that they do.
That's it. Yeah. You can think of it roughly as what our core intellectual property does is provide a single unit of measure that you can then overlay costs onto to come up with a cost per unit of production, if you will, for computing power.
Okay, that's really cool. That's really cool.
In and of itself is groundbreaking.
So, you know, this is a place where I'm sure that Cal is going to have a lot of input, you know, before Cal retired and then came out of retirement to work on Business Radio X. He was with, can I say whom? Mm-hmm. He was with Grant Thornton, leading their technology practice. So the ability, I'm sure, for organizations like Grant Thornton to be able to have a valuation mm-hmm. must be huge.
What? And to get benchmarking information, you know, IT is a huge cost.
That's it.
Right?
Yep.
And so I'm assuming that where you're going with this, at least to some extent, is eventually to have benchmarking and best practices and whatever that folks can compare themselves to, right?
Exactly.
I should ask that as a question,
yeah.
But is that where we're going?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's uniquely valuable for an individual organization to be able to get more of a much better understanding and comprehensive visibility around their infrastructure footprint. But the real value in Six Fusion actually comes from aggregating that data across all of our user base to do exactly what you're talking about, to be able to benchmark outside of an organization's four walls and understand, okay, here's our baseline. Here, we understand where we are now, but how does that compare to other organizations in our industry, in our region, using the same technology platforms that we are? There's a variety of different ways and cross-reference points that you can use that data for to provide benchmarking and really understand not only where you are today, but the initiatives you put in place to get better. Are those actually working? And how does that compare to how the market is progressing in getting more and more cost effective in how they're using their IT infrastructure?
Yeah. Tell us about that. Tell us about how this knowledge that you're offering impacts business.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, it's a conversation and a value proposition around cost effectiveness and cost efficiency. So understanding that your private data center is running at a particular cost per unit of production, being able to compare that to other organizations in your industry or other benchmarks, not at an anonymized level, of course, but then also be able to understand that that as you're putting new initiatives in place to improve that level of cost efficiency, then how is that comparing to other organizations, other benchmarks, other regional benchmarks that come into play there? So there's two sides of that cost effectiveness, right? There's either paying less for what you're using today, or there's getting more for the same price, if you will. And understanding, depending on the situation that the business is in, it may be more important for them to pay the same price but get more for what they're buying.
Sure.
Or overall reduce their cost structure in an effort to redeploy those resources into higher value objectives or new projects that they're able to bring online with those additional resources that are freed up by getting more cost effective in how they're using their infrastructure. And let me finish out that thought. It's Accenture actually had an interesting report that came out, I guess it was a few months ago now. But the gist of the report is that every company today, regardless of what their end product is or who their customers are, every company is a technology company, whether or not they want to be a technology company or not. The delivery of products and services today are fundamentally delivered by technology. And IT infrastructure is a critical input to any organization in the world today who's delivering value to their customers. And so being able to understand how that infrastructure is being used and areas for improvement to get more cost effective, get more efficient in how they use that infrastructure, in addition to understanding how they compare to their peers, is critical information for them to have today to make better business decisions.
Okay. I just have 18 questions here. Let's start with, how do you sell this? Is this productized or is this a service-based system?
Yeah. So a couple of ways to answer that question. So we, first and foremost, the technology platform itself is a software as a service. So there's no software to deploy on premise. It's a software as a service model where we're able to collect the necessary metrics we need out of an infrastructure system, send those up to our software as a service platform where the data is processed for presentation and analytics and everything else you can use with our platform itself. Now, the interesting thing is from a business model perspective is for an individual organization who wants to use our technology to analyze the usage of their infrastructure, regardless if it's their owned infrastructure or an infrastructure service they're using, that is entirely free to any organization who wants to use it. And the premise there is our unit of measure, you can think of it roughly analogous to the watt in electric utility consumption. Sure. We want that to become as ubiquitous as possible and become the de facto standard for measuring IT infrastructure consumption. And the easiest way to do that is to make it free. Make it as easy to use as possible and as low cost as possible to use. Free, you can't get any better than free. So where, from a business model standpoint, where we make money is at the aggregation of that data. To your point earlier about benchmarks and providing that the aggregate information to either ecosystem users, ecosystem owners who have a closed community of infrastructure users, or market constituents who are interested in pricing and costing indexes, and that the higher level aggregated market data that we're able to utilize off the usage of the aggregation of individual organizations who are measuring using our technology and our unit of measure.
So are you actually measuring using your unit of measurement? Are you able to measure, for example, new equipment that's coming to market to say this is going to be this much more efficient than the old piece of equipment that's being retired yet, or so, are we not quite there?
Yeah, so great question, and it's interesting because that brings out an important nuance with what we do, which is we are specifically focused on measuring consumption, not performance.
Okay.
So as new equipment comes out, yes, absolutely, it gets more more performant in the just purely by Moore's law is the performance gets better and the cost goes down. But we're measuring the consumption. So think about it like you can think about us like the meter, the electric meter on the outside of your house. Mm-hmm. If you bring in, if you get a new HVAC system in your house, you're probably going to see more efficient, lower overall electricity usage. And yes, that is better performing, but we're looking at the overall consumption of those resources, not necessarily the performance of those resources.
Okay.
That's performance is very important, certainly.
Right.
We're just more focused on the overall consumption of those resources and the cost effectiveness of that spend.
And just for our listeners, what is this unit of measurement called?
Yeah. So I run marketing for the company, and the unit was named before I got to the company, and you'll understand why. It's called the Workload Allocation Cube, or the WAC, or WAC for short.
Okay.
Yes.
Now we know why this was not a marketer who
created this
terminology.
Yes, exactly. It makes for very interesting trade show T-shirts. As you might imagine.
Well, you have whack-a-mole set up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Giveaways, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's called the Workload Allocation Cube, and that's fundamentally the foundation of our software as a service platform, and that single unit of measure that enables that normalization of data, regardless of the underlying technology platform.
How long have you guys been making this software service solution available to the public?
Yeah, so the company has it's funny, the original genesis of the Workload Allocation Cube is actually almost a decade old at this point.
Goodness.
The company itself was formed in 2009 and raised first round of venture capital in 2010. So really since 2010, 2011 timeframe is where we've been ramping up the adoption of our technology.
Can you give us sort of a mini case study? Can you tell us of a place, you don't even have to name where it is, mm-hmm. that you've installed, or people that are actually using your solution, and how it works, what they actually do?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me give you an example of a very large financial institution who I can't name by name, but it's an interesting case study because it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with cloud. Most people who look at what we do tend to automatically assume that this is primarily for measuring cloud services.
Right.
But I bring up this use case because it's a very clear example of how an individual organization gets value from a technology like this. This particular financial institution, they buy new servers, new IT infrastructure every single quarter. And so
wow.
quite literally every single quarter, and it's not an unsubstantial amount of.
They're not replacing everything every quarter. They're just adding to it every quarter.
Not fully replacing. Yeah, it's mostly additive, but they are. Then you can imagine they're taking out all of their older equipment.
Holy smoke.
And replacing that on top with new equipment, literally on a quarterly basis. So, it's an enormous process within the bank to go through and understand what they need to purchase, where it should go, what the configuration of that infrastructure should look like, and how it's going to be used. And so they're using our technology to accelerate that process to get a very, very clear view into, okay, here's exactly how much we have. Here's our overall capacity. At any given moment, they can log into our platform and see, here's our overall capacity. They can break that down by the different sets of infrastructure they have access to, and they can understand how much is being used in any one of those sets of infrastructure. So they can very clearly see, we need more in this set of infrastructure. We don't necessarily need to buy anything for this other set of infrastructure. And yeah, we need a lot more over here in this third set of infrastructure. So here's exactly how many servers you need to buy, and here's where you should deploy those servers. And oh, by the way, if you get rid of a few of these older servers, you don't have to buy as many new ones, because you probably needed, depending on how old that infrastructure is, you can replace 10 servers with one server today. So there's a variety of different calculations that play into that, but we can help go from what is today a highly manual process of meetings and spreadsheets and pulling information out of people in order to just to get on a quarterly basis an understanding of what you need to buy, to logging into a dashboard to see, here's where we are from an infrastructure utilization standpoint. Oh, and it very quickly identify where we need to make purchases and where we don't.
That's really cool.
And so you've been around about 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
So can you give us an idea of how many folks have actually signed on and at least, you know, used your unit of measurement to gauge their consumption?
Yeah. So we've got several hundred users of the platform from an organizational standpoint. Several hundred organizations that have over the course of our adoption curve utilized our technology. What's more interesting to us, and that one of our key performance indicators, is the number of machines, meaning the number of servers or the number of virtual machines that we have measured over the course of a 12-month time frame. And so I can't give you the specific number, but it's a significant number of machines that we have measured over the course of certainly in the last 12 months, but over the course of the lifetime of the company. And why that's important is because what that allows us to do in looking at specific machine readings or specific machine measurements is to identify patterns of usage, again, across different technology platforms, across different industries, across different user types. There's a variety of different ways we can slice and dice that, but at its core, we are most interested in how many machines we can and have measured over the course of, you know, whatever time frame you want to look at.
Sure.
Because that also plays into quantifying the overall demand for infrastructure services as a whole. As the market transitions from more of a do-it-yourself model and running your own data center into more of a services model and what we refer to as a utility model, using infrastructure as a service and really only paying for what you actually use of an infrastructure in a true utility model, that becomes much more important. The number of machines measured becomes much more important to identify those patterns and be able to apply those patterns as benchmarks for an individual organization, but also be able to look at that at an aggregate level and what's going on across the market as a whole.
And can you break that down between virtual and the cloud?
Oh, absolutely.
Machines in the cloud. So you could, at some point, you can tell an industry, for example, the trend is, or the benchmark is that, your competitors are doing 80% of their stuff in the cloud and 20%.
That's exactly it. And we
can, you get some very, very interesting information out of this.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So we can break it down by how much is in a private data center running on either a physical environment, meaning on Linux or Windows, or in a virtual environment, still in a private data center, but using a hypervisor like VMware or Xen or one of the others like that. Or are you using more of a pure public cloud model like an Amazon Web Services or a Google Compute Engine? And we can break that down in very granular detail to be able to then look at how those benchmark against different industry trends or regional trends, or there's a variety of things we can do there.
Have you gotten into the public sector yet with this, or is it all still corporate, the corporate world?
I mean, yeah.
I'm just curious if the public sector is interested in this at all or not.
Yeah, so we are seeing some traction in the public sector, primarily in the state and local education markets.
Oh,
so that
really?
Area of the public sector. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about what one of the challenges they have, and in fact, one of the large local universities here is a user of our technology, and understanding they have many different departments that are all, they all need IT infrastructure, and they all need it at different levels at different times. You know, depending on if one particular department gets a new grant that comes in, they all of a sudden need a much larger portion of an IT infrastructure, and that varies across all different departments. So we've seen quite a bit of interest there among state and local educational organizations. On the more government or that sector of the public markets, we haven't seen a tremendous amount of traction. And it's interesting. I had a conversation not long ago with the CIO of a mid-sized state, not ours here, but I won't name names there. But it was a very interesting and partially disheartening conversation that went something like this. We have our budget, and we want to spend that budget. Otherwise, we're not gonna get as much the following year.
Yeah.
So cost efficiency is less interesting to us as opposed to what else we can spend our budget on. And so that.
You just told them how they could do more with their IT.
We did, yeah, and it was I think partially what's what's driving the
public-private
issues there. Yeah.
I wonder. As I sit here and listen, I get this vision, two different visions for your company, and it's interesting because I've never really found an organization that could do this. Either one of these, I suppose. You guys could really be like the go-to analyst firm, the ones who really get what data is out there about IT more than any other firm, because you have all this data. And on the flip side, you guys could create a whole new universe of commodity, IT as commodity, and be a commodity trader or the data for the trader.
Mm-hmm.
Have you given any thought to either of those environments?
Given a lot of thought to both of those. So the first point about being an analyst firm. So we would actually see the analyst firms as being customers of ours.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, we are a data services company.
You don't want to start being writers.
No. But we're more than happy to have Reuters or Bloomberg or whoever purchase a data feed from us on the very granular details of what's going on in the infrastructure markets. On the second piece of it, around the commoditization and the exchanges, if you will, around infrastructure as a service, there's actually some very interesting things going on that front. And we announced just a few months ago a collaboration with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, more specifically the CME Group that owns the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, who happens to be the largest commodity exchange in the world, a collaboration to actually launch a spot market for infrastructure services. With our technology, with the workload allocation cube as the single unit of measure for all of the contracts that will be available in this spot market. So if you think about a commodity exchange, every commodity in the world has a single unit of measure. There's a barrel of oil, there's a bushel of wheat, there's the, as sure, I mentioned, the watt in electric electric commodity markets, right. There's a gallon of gas, et cetera. So our technology, our unit of measure, will be the unit of measure for
the WACC.
Yes, yes, exactly. It will be a WACC-based contracts that will be exchanged on this spot market. So that's very exciting news for us.
Tell those of us who are not in finance what a spot-based market is.
Yeah. So the way these commodity markets develop is they start with a spot market or a spot exchange, sometimes called an over-the-counter market.
Okay.
Which is generally where, and certainly in the case of IT infrastructure, you're going to see both buyers and sellers coming together to buy and sell contracts for physical delivery, meaning the buyer has full intention and will take delivery of the infrastructure services that are part of that contract.
Wow.
As opposed to, and this is further down the road in terms of development of a commodity market, but a spot market or over-the-counter market operates for a certain period of time, generally years, as what they call an underlying cash market develops, essentially the overall transaction and trading volume within a spot market gets to a certain threshold where the exchange owner decides that there's enough transaction volume and enough of an underlying cash market for a full derivatives market to be developed. And that's where you see things like options and futures and a variety of other derivatives of the core contract that you see in the oil markets and the grain markets and the metals markets. And
everywhere, by the way.
Yeah,
almost everywhere.
Every commodity exchange. Yeah, exactly. So that's generally how those develop. We expect this market, this spot market for infrastructure as a service, to be in beta by the end of this year, end of 2014. And we expect that to operate for at least 24 months, likely more, as a spot market while it builds up transaction volume and the underlying cash market there. And, you know, at some point, if CME Group decides to then transition that into a derivatives market, a full derivatives market, then so be it.
So let's talk a little bit about how you get customers.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is all very exciting. I think Ann and I get it. You know, it's, I don't think we have businesses big enough to suggest that we need to have you come in and tell us about our IT consumption at the moment. But
that's because we're all in the cloud and it's just kind of out there, right?
But there certainly certainly are folks probably listening who do. So how do you go about getting customers?
Yeah. So there's a lot of answers to that question, but our general go to market strategy is to go to market through partners who and I mentioned ecosystem owners earlier, and that's a critical route to market for us because we look at ecosystem owners as organizations that have a large customer or partner network that can get value from our services. So we can go to one large organization and get access to, again, I come back to the number of machines that we are measuring. We can get access to a large number of machines.
Give us an example. Can you give us an example of someone you might?
Yeah, absolutely. So, IT infrastructure vendors like the OEMs, Dell, Cisco,
sure,
a variety of others like that, who have a very, and when I say ecosystem, so they obviously have a very large customer base who are all running their technology,
right,
and have the ability to access a large number of machines very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our primary route to market. Now that's sort of a top down approach, if you will. There's also the bottom up approach, which is where we are going to market and working with individual organizations, generally mid to large organizations. Again, we look at the number of machines, the size of the overall infrastructure that a single organization is using, to kind of benchmark where we go after those individual organizations to work with. And so we look at organizations that have 5 and 10,000 and more machines, whether those are physical machines or virtual machines, to where it really makes sense and where we can provide the most value in a very short time frame for those individual companies.
What about like IT services companies that are maybe smaller but serve in aggregate many?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is also that's a smaller version of the ecosystem owners.
Gotcha.
that I
okay.
talked about earlier, and we certainly have a large number of those IT service providers that we work with as well.
Mm-hmm.
A slightly different category is the data center companies.
Sure.
that sell data center space,
right,
to either cloud services providers or end user enterprise organizations. and so we certainly work with those organizations as well to help their customer base or their partner base get access to our technology. One more quick point about the bottoms up approach. It's initially a very easy conversation to have, that because it is free for any individual organization who wants to use our technology. We typically go through a 2 to 4 week, what we call a proof of value. We don't call it a proof of concept because we know the concept works. We're proving that we can add value to an individual organization in a very short time frame. So we usually go in and collect the metering or the measurement data that we need in the course of a 2 to 4 week time span, and run that through our platform to very quickly show an organization the kinds of insights and analytics they can get from our platform in that very short time frame. And then we work with them to scope out a larger engagement and larger application of this technology across their entire IT
cool.
footprint.
That's great. I love the proof of value thing.
It's great.
Proof of value is what it's all about.
With IT becoming more and more and more a cost of doing business, right? I mean, like you said before, you can't do business without it. And it just seems like, you know, everything gets more complicated and it just requires more technology and more technology. The software gets more sophisticated than it need more hardware, than you need more software. So where do you see all this going in addition to you becoming the standardized unit of measure?
Yeah, so I think you'll see some interesting dynamics play out over the next, I don't know, let's say 3 to 5 years. On the infrastructure side in particular, because as I mentioned, it is becoming a core business input to every company
yes,
in the world.
Absolutely.
And so what you'll see much more, and we're seeing this today certainly, as the IT organization within a company becomes a more strategic partner, a more what we're seeing leading edge IT organizations doing is becoming internal service providers,
right,
for their organizations. And that brings about a very interesting dynamic, because for those organizations that view themselves as a service provider within a larger company, their customers, of course, are the business units and the business users within and across that business. But they don't limit themselves to just the IT resources they have in-house. They take a true service provider approach and look at when a business unit comes to them with a new project or a new application they want to deploy or utilize, They look at their capabilities internally, but then they also look at external capabilities as equivalent options, and they're gonna choose the best option for that business problem.
Really competitive,
as opposed to it puts the IT organizations in a couple of different strange dynamics. Which one is they're putting their own team, their own IT team, in competition
up against everybody else.
Yeah,
with
their own vendors in many cases that they've been doing business with for a long time. And but it's almost inevitable from that perspective, because a lot of people call this the consumerization of IT, but a lot of business units and end users within an organization are going and acquiring IT resources and IT services by going around IT, their own internal IT group. It's a phenomenon that a lot of people call shadow IT as well, because there's this whole shadow IT capability across the organization that the CIO may or may not know about within any organization. Now, what the leading edge CIOs are doing is bringing that into the fold, and by taking a service provider approach, they are open to bringing in new services, whether or not their own team can provide those services or not. And it's really a best of breed approach to delivering on the use case and the business case that's needed for that particular project. So you have that going on, and at the same time you bring in something like a commodity market for infrastructure services, and then you have the ability to do things that IT organizations and really companies as a whole have not been able to do as it relates to IT going forward. If you think about the application of derivatives markets in things like jet fuel for airlines, jet fuel hedging has made Southwest Airlines extremely competitive. In fact, the most profitable airline in the industry, because they are able to offset the risk and offset the cost associated with fluctuations in jet fuel costs. They were at the leading edge of doing this. All the airlines do it now. But think about the application of those types of financial methodologies and financial principles to an IT organization, and it brings about some very new capabilities, certainly, but it really shifts your approach to IT as a whole and IT infrastructure specifically in this point. But the ability to then apply those hedging principles and be able to take some risk off the table in building out or using your IT infrastructure is it really changes the mentality and gets us closer to what we believe is the whole advent of as a service for IT and specifically around cloud is the utilization of IT resources like a true utility.
Right.
And that gets us much, much closer to that becoming a reality. And I think you'll see that play out over the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, I would think this would be tremendous for seasonal businesses, for example.
Absolutely.
You know, they used to have to go out and build their own IT infrastructure, and then, you know, it would sit nearly idle for part of the year. Now they could literally
greater
go out and buy IT capability, right?
That's right.
For the 3 months that they need it.
Yep.
And then they could even, maybe someday they could even buy that on a futures basis.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, buy it during a different time of year or whatever, when the price is down, knowing that they need to use it, for example, around the winter holidays or something like that.
That's right.
But buy it at a cheaper price.
Yep. It's interesting you bring that up, because the genesis of Amazon Web Services, who is by most accounts the dominant player in infrastructure as a service today, they have somewhere between 70% to 80% market share, depending on whose numbers you look at. That was exactly how Amazon Web Services developed, because Amazon, obviously being a very seasonal business, they had a lot of infrastructure sitting idle for the first two quarters, certainly, and part of the third quarter of every year. And so they said, well, we should turn this into a business to utilize while we're not
using it, sure.
While we're not using it in the off season for retail.
So well, you know, we're hearing more and more. You mentioned IT organizations becoming internal service organizations. What I'm beginning to hear is IT organizations becoming profit centers.
Yes.
Okay, which I would think fits right into what you're talking about here. It's no longer good enough that the IT organization operates within its budget and keeps everybody happy.
Yep.
Now, corporate management is saying, well, wait a minute, you know, this is a huge investment. You ought to be able to make a profit on this.
Yeah, and that's certainly playing out in more technology-intensive and information-driven industries. And I think you'll see that play out in other industries as this develops further as well. To your point exactly, where it's not good enough to stay within a budget. You've got to start driving revenue off of IT services. And indirectly, companies are doing that today. It's just not specifically called out, right. And a CIO is not held to a specific profit number in general. But the business unit owners certainly are, and they can't hit those numbers without the IT services to support those efforts.
I mean, and we all know that the performance of the IT is a huge factor in competitive advantage.
You
go on a website, that website doesn't work.
Yep.
You go to somebody else's website.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Whoever's website didn't work just lost a sale.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if you think about, I used to work for a company that was heavily involved in supply chain technology and supply chain services. And if you working backwards from the initial or the final product delivery, working backwards through the supply chain, all of that is heavily technology dependent today. And we used to say companies don't compete anymore. Supply chains compete against each other.
Right.
And that's heavily driven by that technology development.
Well, and we love that, first of all, there can't be a whole lot of competition for you right now. We've got pretty much the corner on that commodities market in a way.
Yeah.
And we love that you're here in the Raleigh-Durham area and glad that your roots are very deep here. We don't want you going anywhere.
We are very glad to be here. Absolutely.
So what a completely amazing show that we've had today. This has been very detailed, a lot of really great insight. You've brought amazing expertise to the microphone. I appreciate that very much, Ryan.
Well, thanks again for having me.
We're just
going
to have you back again. That's all there is to it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, for Cal and for Angie, and this is Anne Revell-Petcher signing off for Carolina Connections. And we'll see you next time.